The story of a beautiful bay thoroughbred born in 1912 is a popular one. So popular that Steven Spielberg directed a movie entitled War Horse. The Disney picture released in 2011 was a moving story about a boy who became attached to a striking beauty of a horse named Joey. The boy's immediate attachment to Joey caused his father to offer the winning bid to purchase him, not only for his son, but because Joey would be a powerful plow horse for the family farm. But due to their impoverished state, the family would eventually be forced to sell Joey for much needed money. Joey, a gorgeous bay-colored thoroughbred who was tall and powerful, was trained by the boy Albert to plow the turnip fields. But upon being sold into military service, the boy Albert, who was too young to enlist in the army, tied his grandfather's war pennant to Joey's bridle in hopes to get his beloved horse back. Joey would serve well as a powerful working horse for the English army in 1918. He saw battle after battle, and eventually would be stolen by the Germans to pull an ambulance wagon. In the midst of another battle, one of the soldiers driving the wagon took Joey and fled to France, where he'd stay in the lower level of a country home. Joey was hidden in the barn and cared for by a young girl named Emily, who, like Albert before her, would become deeply attached to this stately horse, until the Germans came looking, only to take Joey away again. Throughout his life, Joey had been sold, stolen, hidden, survived the throes of war, and stolen again. He was a powerful force that any army would be thrilled to enlist. A stunning creature that commanded the attention and favor of anyone who would lay eyes on him. He was, in any and every sense, a war horse. But perhaps the most memorable scene in the entire movie was when Joey was at the center of yet another battle between the British and the Germans. Joey was left on his own to face an oncoming tank. After a thunderous explosion, the horse escapes and runs into no man's land, where he gets entangled in a cluster of barbed wire barriers. From their respective trenches, both British and German soldiers spot Joey in the night mist, running in fear with mane flowing and covered in the tangled, jagged wire. Joey ends up in a place where he can no longer run and comes to a halt when a British soldier comes and waves a white flag in the midst of gunfire to try and free the horse. A German soldier comes over with wire cutters, and together they free Joey from the wire. The two make friendly talk on the remorseless war. They flip a coin to decide who should take the horse. The British soldier wins and guides Joey back to the British trench. Albert's grandfather's war pennant is still attached to the bridle. Battle-tested, heroic, majestic are words that seem to only begin to describe this war horse named Joey. Imagine the stature of one who would be found riding upon such a magnificent and revered champion. Today, we won't find that one. Today, we see no image of Teddy Roosevelt and his Rough Riders, no decorated General Eisenhower or General Patton before an American flag and Sherman tank. But we do find a king, a messiah welcomed and cheered by the crowds, just as the aforementioned heroes were of our time. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem by Jesus was certainly uncommon for him, but not so uncommon at all for the great city. Entrance processions were a familiar ceremony in the first century. Many kings, anointed kings, and conquering generals had entered Jerusalem over the generations, but never had they seen a king quite like Jesus. Yes, Jesus was a king, but no ordinary one. The entry into Jerusalem by this Jesus was a hope-filled one. It was a moment filled with possibility. The thought of what might be exhilarated those who followed Jesus. Might this be the king who finally delivers Israel from Rome? Might this be the mighty general who leads us to defeat our oppressors? Might this be the Messiah who brings the long-awaited blessing of God upon Israel and gather the children of God together again? This is it, they thought. The era has arrived when God's kingdom would at last be established on earth. But wait, Jesus is a different kind of king. Certainly no ordinary one. To proclaim Jesus as king, we must realize something about this ruling shepherd. For whom was Jesus king? Well, if you ask St. Luke, he was the king of fishermen, tax collectors, Samaritans, harlots, blind men, demoniacs, and cripples. Those who followed Jesus were a ragtag bunch, as Brennan Manning would say. Oh, and those cloaks that people threw before Jesus, they weren't pricey garments, but tattered shawls and dusty, sweat-stained rags. Jesus was the king of the oppressed and the suffering. He shared the hardships and relieved the suffering of those most vulnerable. He accepted those deemed unacceptable, gave them hope, and embodied God's love for them. Now they came to cheer him on as they followed him into the city. Only a few days later would they say to one another, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." It was a letdown for those who thought God would fulfill their hopes and dreams according to their own desires, rather than in the scope of God's plan for all of humanity. God was up to something great and powerful, but the people were looking for a different kind of king, perhaps one riding on a majestic war horse. But this king, the one to whom we bow today, came riding on a borrowed donkey. Not an ordinary king. This king does not seek power or prestige, but gives his life as a servant. This king does not liberate with violence, but sets us free with mercy and forgiveness, and loves us far more than we can begin to fathom. This is our king. This is our Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.